Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 to 16. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord answered Moses, "Walk on ahead of the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink." So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled, and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands." So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning, but whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven." Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner." He said, "Four hands were lifted up to the throne of the Lord. The Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation." Matthew chapter 18, verses 18 to 20. "I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them." In today's scripture, Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, Jesus said, "For where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them." Two people mean the minimum number that can join together. Agreement means cooperating harmoniously with each other for the best result. Thus, prayer in agreement means a prayer of those who become one harmoniously. Prayer in agreement can be done only if the Holy Spirit works. Then, the prayer of two people in agreement can open the gates of heaven. There are two ways to pray in agreement. First, one person prays on behalf of all whose hearts become one. Second, all pray in agreement in one voice. Why do we pray in agreement? Of course, it is for the glory of God. Because each individual has limited power, we pray in agreement to receive the power of God. I would like to talk about an allegory. Someone studied the pulling power of one horse and two horses. One horse pulled 2 tons. How many tons can 2 horses pull? One horse pulled 2 tons, so 2 horses may pull 4 tons. But 2 horses in agreement actually pulled 23 tons. The wicked powers of darkness can agree as well. That's why they are so powerful. A wicked man can contaminate a group. In Korea, a cult called the New World is destroying many existing churches because they are well allied and united. They sacrifice time, money, family, and life if needed. In contrast, good Christians are not united well. Why? Because liberalism and individualism are at their peaks. They do not agree to be one. The purpose of them having faith is not for the glory of God, but for self-centered reasons. That is why we need wisdom to understand the Word of God. When they do not become one, but individualists, all will be destroyed because Satan may tempt and test individuals who exist alone. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve lived happily. When Eve was alone, Satan approached to tempt her. While she was pretending to be clever and conversing with Satan, she was tempted. Man cannot exceed the power of Satan. How come Eve didn't wait for her husband, Adam, to discuss it and just ate the forbidden fruit alone? This was individualism and arrogance. Why did Jesus promise, "For where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them"? He knew how Satan would work. Jesus sent his disciples in pairs on trips for evangelizing training. Why? Individuals cannot overcome the power of Satan. In the first church, people in Jerusalem knew the spiritual world. They devoted themselves to pray in agreement. Acts chapter 2, verse 28. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. When Apostle Peter preached, more than 3,000 people repented and converted to Christ. During that time, miracles occurred. Unclean spirits were cast out, the crippled walked, the sick were healed, and the dead were made alive. How could it be possible? Because all the church members prayed in agreement with their whole hearts. Making people unhappy is Satan's power of darkness. The power to defeat it is two or three people praying in agreement. What does scripture in Exodus chapter 17 tell us? God took the Israelites out of Egypt and was heading to the land of Canaan. At Rephidim, the Amalekites attacked the Israelites. The Amalekites were the descendants of Esau, the twin brother of Jacob. They were brave and wild fighters. The Israelites never had experienced war. They were the slaves of the king of Egypt who only made them do labor work. When the Israelites were attacked by the armed soldiers of the Amalekites, they were not ready to fight. Moses, the leader of the Israelites, prepared for the battle in two ways. First, he commanded Joshua to organize young soldiers drafted from the 12 tribes. Second, he prayed with Aaron and Hur in agreement. But the weird thing was when Moses raised his hands, the Israelites won, and when he put his hands down, the Amalekites won. Why do you think this happened? Attacking the people of God equals attacking God. That's why all the battles of Christians are against the evil spirits of the heavenly realms. In scriptures, 2 Chronicles chapter 20 verse 15 and 1 Samuel chapter 17 verse 47, it says the battles are God's. While Joshua and the young soldiers went to the battlefield, Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to a mountain for prayer. When Moses' hands were raised up, the Israelites won, and when his hands were lowered, the Amalekites won. You may not think that your daily life counts as spiritual life. You may think that worship on Sunday is your only spiritual behavior. This is the problem of Christianity today. You must believe that a Christian's entire life is spiritual warfare. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, it says, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy the devil prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings." Our enemy, the devil, always watches for an opportunity to attack. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 to 27, it says, "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold." This is the reality of spiritual warfare. According to today's scripture, the Amalekites attacked the Israelites because they found a foothold in the Israelites. When the Israelites departed the desert of Sin and arrived at Rephidim, they had no water to drink. They reproached Moses and were angry enough to almost stone him. Moses had to pray to God for help. Through Moses, God helped them have water by hitting a rock. In this incident, it is written that the Israelites quarreled and tested God. Satan, who was looking for a foothold, attacked the Israelites. This indicates the spiritual warfare that the people of God must be aware of. But in the Bible, spiritual warfare is always God's. In Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 22, Moses said to the Israelites, "Do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God himself will fight for you." In the Old Testament, in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 17, and chapter 25, verse 28, when the people of God fought against the Gentiles, they said, "Fight the battles of the Lord." Therefore, I urge you not to forget about prayer in agreement. The Lord said to us, "Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them." Nothing is impossible when the Lord, the Almighty God, to whom heaven and earth and all the people on earth bow, is with us. He gave us today's message to live such lives. All we need to do is practice what God said to us. Every Saturday, we will come together and pray in agreement to overcome the power of Satan. Our church will always win, and all of the church's members will be prosperous in family, work, and business. I bless all of you so that your life goals will be fulfilled in Jesus' name.